let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, Jack?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Baruch Hashem Adonai and Shalom Chavarim, and that means blessed be the name of the Lord, peace to our friends, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your pen and your Bible and paper and take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on eschatology, the study of the end of days. And you can listen later this week to the same show at shofarministries.net. Let's go to the Lord with prayer, and we just want to say, Abba, Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to speak your truth, the words of your truth, and to teach your body and those that listen, all our listeners, more of the truth of in your word. We want to lift up all the prayer requests that come to us in the mail. I think we've had about five this week. And I would like to also lift up the Venturetti family that are going through some tough times, a loss today. But mainly we want to bless you and thank you for this opportunity to serve you on the air. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen to that. And thank you, John. And the end of Shabbat Shalom to you. Still not quite sundown,
yeah,
so I guess it still is, huh? And I wanted to remind people that during the week, I know some people are afraid or don't like to talk on the air. So if you have an end time question, you can actually email me during the week at Sheila@shofarministries.net with your end time questions. You can call and leave a detailed message on my answering machine. And that number is 440-834-9006.
That's great. And you know what? For those of you that live in the Lake County area and you're willing to drive a little, well, if you can drive a little, you can get a lot of great teaching, because Sheila will be out in Mentor at Lakeshore Assembly of God this Thursday, July 14th at 7 p.m. That's Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard. You can call or email us for more specific directions. We don't know the exact time we will hear that last trumpet sound, but his word says in Luke 21:34, to pray to escape the days of vengeance and to look for the signs and to encourage each other as we see the day approaching. Are we seeing the day approaching, Sheila?
Yes, we are.
I think we are, too.
And I'm going to start out the show with exactly that question for a lot of weeks, because we are really seeing that day approaching. And why would God say, as you see the day approaching, if we couldn't see the day approaching, which would give us an idea that he's returning soon?
That's right.
Okay. We are watching global headlines play catch up with the Bible, John.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation for the coming king is unfolding right now, our generation, right before our very eyes. Unless your eyes are blinded by worldly thoughts and desires and worries and cares of this life, We are witnessing the foreshadows of the 7-year tribulation, or Jacob's trouble, for many months now. And more than at any time since the book of Acts, Jewish people are calling on their true Messiah. Isn't that awesome, John?
That is.
Prophetically, the scriptures unfold right before us. The world is aligning with Israel against Israel as the Bible foretold. Jerusalem is certainly a couple trembling, and isn't that true?
That is true. That says that in Zechariah 12, too.
Yes, it does. And the nations think they are being drawn into a confrontation with Israel when they are actually being drawn into a clash with the God of Israel, who has repeatedly defended it in most its desperate hours, which we are starting to get to again.
And if you remember the story of David versus Goliath, that was one of the things he told the Philistines, that you're not fighting us, you are fighting the God of Israel.
So, that's right, but since people don't read their Bible, they don't get it.
They don't get it, but we want you to get it. By the way, you can call us later on in the program. The number is 888, that's 888-677-WORD, or 9673. And we'll open the lines later. Keep your questions just to the topic of what we're talking about, if you can.
Eschatology.
Eschatology. We are in the last days. Not a lot of information is being taught in the local churches today on the subject. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to call. And if you stay with us, we even have a scoop on Justin Bieber. If you're Bieber fan.
We do. If you have
yes.
a teenager at home,
yes.
I should say a young teen at home,
yes.
or a young teen grandchild, you're going to be interested in what we're going to have to say in a little bit. But first, we have a little news.
Oh, okay.
Just a little, of course.
Okay.
First of all, that big 24-ship flotilla that was supposed to be heading towards Gaza to break all the blockades is fizzled out. So
oh, that's good. Was it a shipping?
Thing.
Was it on ships?
Okay. Yes, definitely. Oh, I know. There's been a couple airplanes. They call it the air flotilla. Landed yesterday, actually.
I call it a flytilla.
Yeah. That landed yesterday, but the people on there have been screened and going all right, for the most part.
Okay.
For the most part.
But
anyway, last time we were on the air in June, we talked about Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel,
mm-hmm.
where he said that the Palestinian leaders must say loudly that they will accept the Jewish state before any negotiations will take place.
And
they won't do that.
I said, yeah, I thought they're never going to say that.
No, because they never have. However, I said, I bet you they will lie, because they say as long as it helps their cause that they can lie about anything.
Okay.
So I said I thought they would lie to try to get their recognized Palestinian state with eventual entry into the UN. That is their goal. Now, we know Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36 talks intently
yes.
about that making God very unhappy and that judgment will come when they divide up his land again.
And that's Joel 3. You might want to write that down, Ezekiel 36. Check it out for yourself.
It's in there, like around verse 5, I think. But it speaks of judgment coming for specifically dividing up God's land by the enemy. And we, the United States, are pushing Israel once again and accept the difference from the past of giving away of land is now that it's Jerusalem. It's finally on the table. You know, they've always given away land.
It's always been the land.
It's always been set aside. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll talk about that later.
But now this is the very city, the holy city of Jerusalem. That's what's on the table for bargaining. Doesn't sound pleasant.
Mm-mm.
And isn't it already divided, though, Sheila? You've been there. There's a Muslim quarter. There's an Armenian quarter.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Jews are not permitted to enter into the
Well, they could.
Yeah.
They don't.
But they don't. But, you know, I was wondering, who actually divided that?
Okay, well, let me just explain this. And that's a great question, by the way. They won the Jerusalem back in the Six-Day War, but because they did not want to incite the Muslims any further, they decided to share it.
Mm.
Out of the goodness of their heart, they've actually given certain areas of Jerusalem to the Muslims.
Wow.
Now, they still have sovereignty over it, though. They could at any time kick them out and take it. But, of course, they never have.
They've had plenty of reason to, I think.
And they've had plenty of reasons to, but, again, they didn't want to make waves. But now, it's a whole different story. Now, they're supposed to give up sovereignty over East Jerusalem, and that includes the Temple Mount. whole new ballgame. It's one thing sharing your land. God doesn't mind that. But when you actually give it away after God's given it to you, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And that's why I really think that we're so close.
Wow.
Now, Obama's revised formula for the starting point of negotiations with the Palestinians is that Israel would accept the 1967 borders. Now, he always says, oh, well, we're going to, you know, swap some land so to give them defensible borders, but I'm wondering about that. In exchange, the Palestinians would recognize Israel as the national state of the Jewish people, the areas that they still have, of course.
Nice dream.
As I said in June, and now just this week, this is making me a little bit sad, but the Prime Minister Netanyahu, which I'm thinking that he is thinking like you would, like you thought a few weeks ago that there's no way that Palestinians would admit that Jews belong there.
Right. Well, they're not going to, they would, no way they would recognize the state of Israel, the legitimate state of Israel.
And I'm wondering if Netanyahu thinks that also, because he did say just last week, well, all right, if the Palestinians recognize Israel as a Jewish homeland, then I guess the other outstanding issues can be easily and quickly resolved.
Yeah.
And just by saying that, Obama's going to take advantage. He's going to push this deal through. And I'm afraid this is going to be the dividing of Jerusalem. And that will probably be part of that agreement that Daniel 9:27 talks about that will be signed that kicks off the tribulation period. Folks, if you're listening to the show, we could be so close to his return. I hope that this show just stirs you up to tell as many people as possible, especially the carnal Christians out there, the backsliders, to get their act together. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know where God's cutoff is, and I don't know how many is going in the rapture, like if you say you're a Christian but you're really not living it. I'm just not sure, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. But I know this, that he says if you're not anxiously awaiting him, okay, that's who he's coming back for.
You're not looking for him.
And the carnal Christian is not looking for him.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? They're going to be here, stay? Well, I don't know.
That's a scary thought.
I mean, I have my personal thoughts on it, but I don't think I'd want to bring it up because, you know, I couldn't really prove it. But all I know is that, man, let's get out there and tell these people. You know, I know I've started.
Yeah, it's important. And if you don't know your Savior, you're listening to this program, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can ask him, invite him into your heart right now.
Yes, right now. Repent, Acts says. Acts chapter, where is it? Acts, I don't remember. It's in Acts 3.
Acts 3.
It says, repent and then get saved. So don't just say, Lord, come into my life. But repent for the wayward ways you've been living. Repent for the time not spent with God. That's more than anything. That's the worst.
Yes.
You know, so get it done.
Yes.
Your eternity.
A broken spirit and a a contrite heart. Now, these are sacrifices that we can bring to the Lord that He will hear. He will hear your brokenness over sin, even if you don't even know what your sin is.
Right.
You know,
down on that floor, suck some carpet.
Yes.
And talk to the Lord. And get him in your life and then start reading the Word of God. Your eternity depends on it, people. Don't blow this off.
No, don't blow this off and don't wait till the last minute.
That's right. Amen. Well, there's a group called the Quartet, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the Quartet begins their next round of meetings on Middle East peace talks next week. You see, Obama heard what Netanyahu said, so he immediately set up this meeting between the Quartet, and not a single friend of Israel will be at this table.
So he's really running with this statement from Netanyahu. He's running with it. Right. Oh, he said that.
Right, because he knows that the Palestinians want to claim recognition at the UN in September, and he also knows that he has to veto that because he's got so much pressure. He doesn't want to veto it,
right.
So he's trying to get the peace deal ahead of time where Israel is going to go along with it.
Wow. And what is this Quartet? I mean,
sure. Well, the Quartet is the United States, Russia, the UN, and the EU.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton will be there representing us. And Ki-moon, you know.
Okay.
And that kind of thing. So, and then, of course, from the EU would be Catherine Ashton, which, by the way, she's very pro-Palestinian. This is not going to be good.
Where is
for Israel?
Oh, okay. Wow.
All of them support the plan to curse Israel, take from her lands that God promised to the Jewish people forever. They're going to force Israel to retreat to the 67 borders and divide the holy city of Jerusalem. That's what they're going to do.
That is scary, folks. And but you know what? If you have that, we have confidence that God is able to complete the work that He's done in us. And He knows what's going on. He's in control of the whole situation. And He'll bring you through.
Well, and that's the thing. Do we want this to happen if we know it has to happen before Jesus comes back?
Well, yeah, we do, I
of
think.
Of course. I know it's like, you know, a mixed bag of thoughts there because it's sweet and sour at the same time.
Yes.
You know, bitter and sweet. But if this has to happen before Jesus comes back to set up His kingdom, then I'm ready to get the show on the road.
And this could be the one that starts the beginning of the tribulation.
Right, because there is going to be some confirmation of a treaty, some kind of peace agreement that Daniel 9:27 talks about that will kickstart the tribulation period.
Right. That's right. Now, if you've listened to the show over the years, you know that we've seen these circumstances come together and fall apart right at the last minute.
Yes.
And that's happened. But
Jerusalem's never been on the table, John.
Jerusalem's never been on the table. Actually, now if you put all the reasons for it not happening on one side of the scale and all the reasons for it happening
to begin
on the other side of the scale, that scale is now tipped.
Yes.
I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the
there's
probabilities.
Hundreds of signs. In fact, I can't even say all the signs. Now I've actually divided them up in categories. There's so many,
as we
talked about last night at that great meeting we had in Chesterland.
Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Wonderful.
Good group.
Yeah, we had a good time worshiping the Lord and learning from God's Word.
Yes, thanks to you, John, who does Messianic songs and you know Hebrew, and we're so blessed.
Thank you very much, and thanks to you that for taking your time.
Amen.
And most of your time. I will tell people that she takes most of her time of her day actually studying God's Word and researching.
I do.
Ooh.
Read a lot of news, though, a little bit too much, I guess. You know what? I think now would be a great time to take that quick break that we will always have to take.
Okay.
So go for it.
Okay. Well, I am totally at a loss of what to do here because I thought we were going to go to the bottom of the hour, but that's okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. It's already,
we're going to open up the phone
lines. Get that done with.
Okay, we're going to open the phone lines at, when the break's over.
Yeah, give them the phone numbers.
And the phone numbers are 888-677-9673. Locally, that's 216-901-0933. The easy one is 888-677-WORD. Now, all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW. You can use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter, and you can check out our webpage. Newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived there for you.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
And we're going to take a break, and then we're going to have to hear a song called Someday by
Los Lobos.
Yes, and it's so good because it talks about just where we're at.
Just where we're at.
We'll be right back.
Don't go away.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters in this station.
They say that smell is one of the most powerful senses. Think about the aroma of your morning cup of coffee and how it gets you going. For Sozo coffee fans, it means so much more. The smell of coffee berry means health. Each cup of Sozo packs the antioxidant power equivalent of a whole serving of fresh blueberries. No other coffee company has the patented coffee berry extraction process. All natural, fresh, healthy, and delicious. And when Sozo distributors smell their coffee, they smell big business. Sozo is sold through distributors, and they're growing every day, looking for people in your area. A lot of our listeners have become Sozo distributors, and they're selling a lot of Sozo products. It's time to wake up and smell the Sozo. Find out how you can become a Sozo distributor and start your home-based Sozo business. Call Sozo at 800-778-SOZO. 800-778-7696. 800-778-7696. Or online at TalkSozo.com. TalkSozo.com.
Someday I will go home. Someday I will go home and I'll find peace in the house of my Heavenly Father.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I like that song. That was Los Lobos.
We are going home.
We are going home. One of the most underplayed songs on the radio,
I think.
It's a beautiful song. And we're back. Thank you for waiting and joining with us. We're back here to teach about our Hebrew roots and prophecy, the end time prophecy. And speaking of Hebrew roots, the subject, this comes up in conversation, you'll have to be talking to somebody, and they'll say, hey, do you know any Canadian Christians who know their Hebrew roots and sell gazillion records? Oh, and you could say, sure, I know one, Justin Bieber.
Yes.
So I guess on his following his visit to Israel in April, Canadian teen sensation Justin Bieber had the name Yeshua tattooed through his body.
In Hebrew.
In Hebrew. That's with a Yud, a Shin, a Vav, and an Ayin. And I'm looking right at the picture here.
Right under his arm.
Yeah. And Bieber is a devout Christian, and he does know some Torah. And before going on stage, he now recites the Hebrew prayer, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, which proclaims the oneness of God from Deuteronomy 6:4.
Right. Now, how many rock stars do you know that does that?
I am totally impressed. I'm really totally impressed more with the Shema than the tattoo,
I know,
to be honest.
I am totally impressed,
but I'm just so happy that, you know, that...
Now my granddaughter, who's, she'll be 9, she says, does that mean I can like him now, Nana? I go, yeah.
That's wonderful. I like to see that. Now, I want to mention something that I should have mentioned earlier.
That's okay.
We'll be back again at the same time, which is this 8 p.m. slot, and that'll be on the 30th of July, and it's a Saturday night again. And remember, all our shows are archived on the webpage, shofarministries.net. And Sheila also writes a fine newsletter. I'll tell you what, they are cool. I keep them. About every 4 to 6 weeks, email her if you want one sent to you. Sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can use the old snail mail if you do not have the internet, and send your requests and donations as well to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021.
And don't forget to tuck in that little love offering, because it helps keep us on the air.
It sure does.
And we could be on more often if we got a little more.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's talk a little bit now about Ezekiel 37, an end times Bible prophecy.
Oh, good.
We've been already talking about how much fulfillment is being right before our eyes, and I definitely want to talk a little more about Israel, and because it's just so important what's happening in Israel. Israel is the one word demonstration of the veracity of Scripture. You only need one word, because God has chosen the Jewish nation to be at the center of God's kingdom plan.
And Sheila, wouldn't you have to say that the miracle of Israel demonstrates the trustworthiness of Scripture?
That's it. Absolutely. After all, the Bible, amongst hundreds of other prophecies, predicted the Jews would be scattered from the land, which occurred in 70 AD, and then would be brought back to form a nation.
That's right.
And it's Ezekiel 37 and some other places.
It's Isaiah,
Jeremiah,
yes.
But never before in the history of humankind has a nation been dissolved and then, after many years, resurrected.
Like around 1900,
years,
I think.
Years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Until it happened with Israel. Never before also had a language been lost to the world and then resurrected until it occurred with Hebrew, the language of the Jews of Israel. And didn't you want to share a gold nugget about the language of Hebrew, how each letter is a picture?
Every letter is a picture. Every picture tells a story, too, because the word for stone, we learned last night. Is this where we're going with this?
Yeah, but let's talk about what the scripture is in Luke 21:17.
Oh, okay.
It's Psalm 118:22.
Okay. Can we go there?
Go ahead.
See if I had it marked and see if I can find it.
It's where the stone that the builder...
Oh, the stone is... Yeah, and I think Jesus quotes from Psalms, and he says... The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
Right.
Now let's look at that word stone.
Let's look at it.
In Hebrew, that is Evan. Hey, if you know somebody named Evan, you can call him Stone.
You mean Eben?
Evan. Or Eben. Eben. But the way it's spelled in Hebrew is with an Aleph, a Beit, and a Nun.
Nun.
Okay? Now the first half of the word, or...
The first two letters.
The first two letters would be an Aleph and a Beit. That spells the word Av, and that means father.
Ab.
That means father.
Now, I like to pronounce the B, and he likes to pronounce the V, but they're both correct.
It's the same letter. Now, let's take the Beit and the Nun.
The last two letters.
The last two letters. What word do we have there? We have the word Ben. That means son in Hebrew. So what do we have in the word Evan or stone? We have Father
and the Son. Is the stone.
Is the stone.
And that's just a quick gold nugget. Just a quick one. And, oh, my gosh, we've seen so many, haven't we?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yes.
Thanks to your digging.
Yes.
And we have found many.
Oh, yeah. Many, many, many.
Many, many, many.
And that's what we share when we get together the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian in Chesterland.
That's right.
And
these are the kind of things we talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
Oh. Boy.
But Israel truly, John, is a miracle. And we'll say it again. Is one of the very greatest proofs that the Bible is true.
Well, sure.
And recent occurrences in Israel are strong indicators that we are nearing the return of Christ.
And we were born for such a time as this.
I mean, think about that. Me and you, God waited to have us be born in this last day so that we can make sure that we tell all of everybody that he's coming back.
My goodness, you know...
Specifically, right before our eyes, we are witnessing, first of all, the migration of Jews into the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And also, they're still coming, too.
That's right.
By the way.
7,500 more Jews of the lost tribes of the Northeast, actually many from India, will migrate to Israel still this year after their peers from South America also migrate to Israel.
Yeah, these Jews are making aliyah, and that means...
Migrating
to Israel. It actually literally means moving on up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're moving on up.
So to the center of the earth.
To God's center, the holy city, Jerusalem.
To the mountain. To the holy mountain of Zion.
Just a side note here. I believe the Jews from India are believed to be from the tribe of Ephraim.
Okay.
And the Jews in South America are probably Sephardic. They came from Spain, and that would have been in the... 15th century, I believe, or the 1400s, you know, if you want to say that. They migrated there to escape the Inquisition.
Yeah.
And that's how they got down there. And now they're facing some persecution, I hear, in South America.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's coming here, too.
And it's coming here, too. And when that happens, and historically, the Jewish population, when they get tired of persecution, they either want to go to some place where there's nobody living, or they want to go back. To the land.
God puts it in their hearts now to go back to the land of Israel.
Before it was America they wanted to come to.
Right.
And now that America seems to be turning,
right.
I don't want to see this, but I think that maybe we'll see more leaving America.
Yeah.
And that's tragic for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying now that our president is a Muslim plant that is here to turn us into Sharia law. Really, really awful. But anyway, Jews are making aliyah before the rapture of the church and the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period occur. And this is all part of the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, because in that chapter, God predicts that following the scattering of the Jews, which, again,
that was 70 AD, the Romans besieged Israel,
right.
Remember?
God would bring the whole house of Israel back to the land in preparation for their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's salvation will occur during the 7 years prior to the return of Christ, and then they'll be given their kingdom.
Following Christ's return to earth, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we're going to be with him then, because we're going up in the rapture, we're going to have our wedding, we're going to have our honeymoon for a period of seven, because seven is very important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will return with him. And Revelation 19 makes it very plain that we are called his wife now.
It does.
Yes, and we come back to earth for our
wedding, the reception.
Hey, thank you.
I've got to know this. I just went to a wedding.
That's right. We come back for our reception.
And receptions are fun.
It's definitely, and that will also
if you're invited.
Be at the same time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the most joyous of all the seven feasts, which we'll be talking about starting next time.
And I believe it's the one feast where God commands his people to be happy is actually a commandment.
I know, it is. And you know what? Because we are saved by the blood, we have the seven feasts already fulfilled spiritually in our hearts. Okay?
So we can rejoice now.
We're supposed to be rejoicing all the time.
Yes.
The happiness of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are supposed to stay joyous because we're saved.
That's right.
We are so blessed to have our salvation. Nothing should pull us down anymore.
And don't worry about the tribulations and the problems that you have right now. I talked to another sister in the Lord that keeps confirming everybody that we know that serving the Lord is having afflictions.
Yes, there's things going on, and he never promised we wouldn't. In fact, he said we would.
But we think it's not because God's punishing us. We think that God is actually polishing us.
He's getting us ready.
He's getting us ready as a bride.
Yeah, and what's going to happen the first thing that we get up there? What's he going to do?
Well, we're not going to Niagara Falls. What are we going to do?
We're going to get our rewards.
Rewards, right.
So mm-hmm. he wants to give us a lot of rewards. So he's putting us through some turmoils right now
mm-hmm.
so that he can say, well done, good and
faithful
servant.
Isn't that something? Not
so
only
we're
does
supposed
he...
to be happy when we're going through trials and tribulations because we're going to get rewards.
Not only are we saved, which is, that would have been enough.
That's enough.
That's enough, Dayenu, if you know what that means. But he's not only does he save us, but he wants to give us rewards.
He does. Don't all fathers want to give their kids rewards?
Yeah. It makes me want to try harder and complain less.
Yeah, I know. And we say that now, but boy, do we blow it, don't we?
Don't we ever. But you've never heard me complain, right? Don't answer that.
No, not at all. But anyway, at the end of the 19th century, God began foreshadowing Ezekiel 37.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Israel becoming a state in 1948, the small Jewish population in Israel, because there's always been a few, began to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, it was at 600,000. Now, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
But after 1948, after it became a state, it was soon at 3 million.
And still more have followed.
Yes. Now, standing at almost 6 million people, and of the world's population of just over 13 million Jews, Israel is now the biggest portion.
Is it? Is it more than America now? Or?
It is now. It used to be America was more, but...
You talk about, like, this is the whole nation and country springing up before our very eyes.
Our very eyes.
I was born shortly after 1948, and they say, I think Tel Aviv, when they started coming back to the land, and it wasn't even given to them or declared or recognized, Tel Aviv, or one of the cities, became huge.
Mm.
And it was like one of the major cities there, and it happened so fast.
I know.
And now it's happening even faster.
I know. And, you know, prior to that, when there was only a handful of Jewish people there, people would go there and they would say, who would want this land?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that poet, Samuel Clemens, maybe? Was it him?
Yeah, it could be.
That went there and said, what do they want this for?
Oh, Mark Twain.
Was it Mark Twain?
Yeah, well, that was his real name.
Oh,
Samuel Clemens.
I knew it. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, but he said, who would want to live there?
Yeah.
But you know what? God gave that land to his people,
mm-hmm.
and it took his people to make that land bloom again.
And now it is.
And now it is.
In fact, it is the highest exports in fruits and flowers.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Is that in the world?
I think
that's
throughout
the world. And they're leading the world in technology and
technology.
New discoveries.
Oh, my.
They're
Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, list goes on and on and on.
It does.
So that's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place in the world where the number of immigrants is five times the number of the people who were originally there. Actually, it's unprecedented.
And that's a miracle.
It is. You
think? Wow.
And also, there is Israel's more recent miracle, and that's, of course, its possession of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The city of God became Jewish-owned for the first time since 70 A.D., in June of 1967, when Israel was attacked by seven, another good number,
mm-hmm.
Arab nations, outmanned so badly, it appeared to be the end of the Jewish nation.
Ah, but God. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Israel not only won that war in 6 days.
On the seventh, it was over.
That number again.
That did. Number of completion.
Mm-hmm. And as well, it obtained land from three different nations, Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. And let me repeat, although they have sovereignty over Jerusalem now, they do not want to further incite the Muslims. So Israel allows them to share the area as the times of the Gentiles remain till Jesus returns. However, Now the international community wants them to actually give up sovereignty over certain areas, to include East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount.
And that what makes
not good.
Not good, and that's what makes this very different and very newsworthy of our prophecy report here.
That's right. But Israel's current possession of Jerusalem signals to me that God, more than ever since 70 A.D., has already began to turn his attention toward Israel for salvation.
Yes.
Since that salvation, as a whole now, we're talking about as a nation, we already are seeing personal salvations, many of them actually, but as a whole, will not occur till the 7 years of Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The initiation of that 7 year period cannot be far away. And the soon dividing of its city, Jerusalem, is the catalyst for God's wrath to begin.
Dividing the city is the catalyst.
I believe it is.
Okay. I think that division you feel will be part of that treaty now that Daniel talks about in chapter 9? Is this where we're going?
Absolutely. I believe it is, because of Jerusalem being the crux of it. And, by the way, Obama and Sarkozy of France are working together on a plan to convene an Israeli-Palestinian peace summit in Paris on September 2nd, which is a very significant day.
Why?
It is the beginning of Teshuvah.
The season of repentance.
Right. And it always comes before the fall feast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that more on the next program.
That's July 30th?
That's
program.
On July 30th at 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock on that
program. Yes. So what I am saying is that out of all the signs that we are witnessing today, again, there's hundreds of them.
Yes, there are.
Of his soon calling up his bride, because I'm anxious to go here. These two signs regarding Israel remain on the top of my list as far as knowing that he's coming soon. If nothing else ever happened, just those two signs is enough for me. Because remember how he said he cursed the fig tree? The fig tree in the Old Testament was a idiom for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when you see it blossom, that generation that sees it blossom will see his return.
Wow.
Now, how long is a generation? Well, there's been some different opinions. Some say 40, okay, but I believe it's anywhere between 40 and 70, except the fact that Psalm does talk about 70 being the average age of a person's life. So I'm leaning towards 70 because, again, I like that sevens thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to lean. Oh, by the way, those numbers, if you need to call in, are 888-677-WORD. Don't be shy.
That's right. Let's talk about sevens, you
know. Yeah, you're on the subject of sevens.
Yeah, because I want people to understand that after 6,000 years, the 7,000th year of time is going to be the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the beginning of that day, which lasts 1,000 years, will be in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, in the Bible, he begins the days in complete darkness first, and then the day is at the end.
That's why you see in Genesis, there was evening and there was morning. The first that you see,
that's
evening,
right,
always comes first.
That's right. Everybody always says, why did he ever do it that way? Because it's a picture of the seventh last day called in that day that begins in darkness, and the darkness is the tribulation.
The whole 6 days of creation plus the seventh day of rest is a picture of history.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all know that he could have made everything in 1 second if he wanted to, because he's God.
Right.
Right?
Right, and he certainly didn't have to take a rest on the Sabbath.
No, he didn't really have to rest, no.
Everything is a picture, and the thing about the greatest picture of that 7,000th year of time, and a lot of Bible scholars that teach prophecy don't understand that the tribulation is part of that day. They separate it, but it's not. It's part of that 1,000 years, and that's the darkness of it, and that's why we have to leave, because right now we are that light that is restraining total evil from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And once the bride is taken out, there will absolutely be no righteous person left on the earth. And we've got scripture in Old Testament that talks about that.
That's right. And in the New Testament, it talks about we are children of the day, and night has no part of, we have no
That's
part
right.
of the night. So think about that one.
We cannot be here for the tribulation, because that darkness is what's going to give Satan his power.
Even if it's just for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't take long.
He'll have
power he needs to get what he needs
He will make a coalition of his power, and it'll all happened that quick.
So let's talk about seven. There's 7 days of creation. The seventh day is the Sabbath.
Okay.
There's 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, 7 priests of Joshua. Sevens are all through the Bible. 7 trumpets of Revelation, 7 trumpets around Jericho. The seventh year is the Sabbath of the land. 7 years to build Solomon's temple, and his throne was on the seventh step. Naaman washed in the river for seven times.
Oh, that, and, it was, and then his leprosy was healed.
That's right. Seven churches, seven lampstands, seven seals, seven bowls, seven stars, seven world kingdoms, seven main offerings, seven feasts or appointments of God, seven psalms specifically ascribed to David. The Bible is full of sevens, multiples of sevens. The Jews were in captivity for 70 years. There's even seven thou shalt nots in the Ten Commandments.
That's it. Oh, you forgot?
Seven parables in Matthew 13. Enoch, who was translated, like we're going to be, was the seventh from Adam.
Now that's significant.
But, that's why we have to have a honeymoon of seven up in the... I just lost my train of thought. When we're taken up for our wedding, we have to have a honeymoon that lasts seven.
Yes.
Not three and a half, not part of the tribulation, but the whole seven.
The whole
seven. We're going to be upstairs.
Check out the story of Jacob when he wanted to marry Rachel and he had to marry Leah first. He had to complete his Shavuot
with her. That's right. He had to complete it.
I think it was seven.
Or it was null and void.
Yeah. That's right. And there's a big picture of, I believe, of the church in Israel in that story. You might want to check that out.
Oh,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, you left out 1:7.
What?
Seven lords a-leaping and a partridge in the pear tree.
All right, let me get through this before we run out of time. But there's so much sevens in the Bible that, did you know that in Matthew 7, chapter 1, 1 through 17, he has the genealogy of Jesus? Well, this is something that you couldn't even do if you tried. But imagine if you could do your own genealogy of your family tree. This is the criteria that you would have to meet that he meets in Matthew chapter 1. First of all, you would have to add all the words, and they must be divisible by seven.
Hmm.
In the Greek, this is what he does in Matthew chapter 1. The total number of letters in the Greek must be divisible by seven. That's exactly what he does in the word. Also, the number of vowels is divisible by seven. The number of consonants, evenly divisible by seven. No leftovers. The number of words that begin with the vowel, divisible by seven. And the number of words that begin with a consonant is divisible by seven. The number of words that occur more than once is divisible by seven. The number of nouns divisible by seven, with only seven words that are not nouns. The number of names in the genealogy is divisible by seven, and the number of male names is divisible by seven. Now, come on. This is internal textual evidence of supernatural design. That alone makes you understand that God had to write the Bible.
Absolutely. That is just incredible.
It is.
Our Bible is incredible. God's Word is incredible. Jesus, the living Word, Yeshua.
That's right. So now with that knowledge, I just want to give you another reason why I think that maybe this year, and I'm saying maybe.
I know, we always say maybe.
Could be the rapture of the church, because this year Israel celebrated its 63rd year in the land.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, this was the 63rd anniversary this year.
But they've always had enemies around them. Okay, they haven't lived in freedom totally and all that.
Okay.
If the rapture happened this year and the tribulation began, that would be seven more years of turmoil, which equals 70. So
it
70
sure
years of turmoil and then the millennial kingdom for them. That makes total sense to me because seven is such an important number. And they were in the land of Babylon for 70 years and then given their freedom.
Ah.
You know?
Okay, what about, did you say something about a jubilee was declared when they founded the state of Israel?
And in 1967 when they regained Jerusalem.
When they regained Jerusalem.
The next year, that's what was only in 3 months, they declared that that should be a year of Jubilee because they'd just gotten back to Jerusalem. I mean, that was the greatest event of all.
Yes.
So if that is true, 50 years from that day, 1968, on our calendar, would be 2018. Subtract 7 would give us 2011. That's this year. And then Jesus would come back in a Jubilee year.
That's right, because the Jubilee year is 7 sevens, 49, and then it's the 50th year.
That's
and
right.
That comes
and
to
that,
50.
That would be 2018. When he blows the great trumpet, remember when he returns in Revelation 19? That's the great trumpet that's always blown on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we think that that's when the treaty will be signed on Yom Kippur? And since it goes back to biblical calendar time,
right?
Whatever day it begins, it will end. Do you see all these little pieces that just kind of fit? And one more before we close, because we're almost done. I just want to say, if a generation is 70 years, if you add that to 1948 when they became a state, and you add 70, the generation with a fig tree that I just talked about before,
yes,
would be 2018 also.
So 2018, and then you subtract from
2011.
You get 2011,
yeah.
So this is a could-be year.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. Probably it isn't.
Make yourself ready.
Be.
Tell people. You don't have to tell them how to learn, teach them Hebrew or anything like that, but you do need to tell people that Jesus is returning soon, and we hope you're all doing that, and in any way possible that you can. We're getting a...
Okay,
wow.
I just want to say one more thing before we close.
Okay.
I don't know if you know anything about blood moons. I'm going to have to make this quick.
Okay.
But there's these blood moons that turn red, you know, and they're very kind of unusual things.
Oh, this is meteorological stuff. Okay.
Yeah, well, the NASA website shows a clear pattern in the sequence of these blood moons. And blood moons have occurred before, like right after Israel became a state and again after they got Jerusalem back. But the next time that these four blood moons occur is in 2014 and 2015. Now, what's interesting is that they occur on feast days, and it doesn't occur again until another century, not even in the 21st century. What I'm saying is that during the tribulation on the sixth seal, there's going to be some blood moons. What? And according to NASA, there's not going to be any more after 2015. So if that's the middle of the tribulation, 2011 could be a good year to
Are you referring to when Yeshua said that the moon will be turned to blood?
I am. And also in Revelation 6 seal, it talks about the moon turning, and that's all right around the middle of the tribulation.
And, of course, the scientists now can figure all this stuff out because we have computers.
That's right.
And they know when these things are going to happen.
That's right. Not to say that God couldn't still make them happen again.
Right.
But he uses nature a lot,
mm-hmm.
if you notice. There's a natural fault line going underneath the Mount of Olives, you know, so that when he comes, it splits easily. And, I mean, you know, not that he needs it to, but I think it's just interesting.
Well, tell me again, when's the next time a blood moon when would that occur? When's the next
three? Okay, well, I'm not sure when one would occur,
mm-hmm.
but when four occur, two in one year and two the following year is in 2014 and 2015, and they're on Passover and Tabernacles both years. This is important.
This is heavy, folks.
Yeah.
This is heavy.
It is. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. We have so much more. We could go on and tell you a lot, but we're going to be back on July 30th.
July 30th, 8 p.m. Please join us. If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, tonight would be a good
night to do it.
Maybe you're concerned. You might be one of those who only have the head knowledge of him, and it's not really in your heart. All you have to do is get on your knees right now. Repent. Be honest with God. He'll be honest with you. Be honest that you've been a sinner. Receive him, his forgiveness that he paid. Receive the gift of salvation. He paid the penalty for your sin. Then commit or recommit your body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But remember, it's always your choice to choose him. You know, God never sends anyone to hell. We choose the place where we go. We're
That's
here
right.
to make that decision. I pray, and Sheila prays, that you listening tonight, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, that you make that decision tonight, okay?
Or if you're a backslider, especially, now's the time.
Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Why? Something you can do over the knowledge of God. Uh-huh. He wants you to study his word.
Yeah, so after you get saved now, you get into that word,
you got
right?
to.
Okay, remember, if you have questions for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or group, all you have to do, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And a reminder one more time, Sheila, we'll be teaching on end time prophecy this Thursday, July 14th in Metter, on 880 Lakeshore Boulevard, Lakeshore Assembly of God. And now we'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrecha ka Adonai v'yishmerecha, ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us next time, Saturday, July 30th at 8 p.m. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.